We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
Did I just hear Busby say negative 20 wind chill?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, thank you.
I do want to talk about a story that I saw last night that just... You know, you wonder why people are so angry right now. This is Exhibit A. But when I saw it, I wanted specifically to read it to you because I knew it would make your head explode.
Is this a Stop the Planet story?
It's about as close to that as it gets for me.
Please slow it down on its axis.
A Florida bill.
Oh, boy.
Would bar businesses and schools from making white people feel uncomfortable when we're talking about race. A bill pushed by Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that would prohibit public schools and private businesses from making white people feel discomfort when they teach students or train employees about discrimination in the nation's past received its first round of approval Tuesday.
Define uncomfortable.
The State Senate Education Committee approved the bill that takes aim at critical race theory, though it doesn't mention it explicitly, along party lines, with Republicans in favor and, of course, Democrats opposed.
But CRT is not actually taught in this country.
I know. But Democrats argue the bill isn't needed, would lead to frivolous lawsuits, which it will, and said it amounts to censorship in schools. They asked without success to give them a real-life example of teachers or businesses telling students or employees that they are racist because of their race. This bill is not for blacks. This bill was not for any other race. This bill is directed to make whites not feel bad about what happened years ago. Quoting here from State Senator Chevron Jones, who is black. At no point did anyone say white people should be held responsible for what happened. I would ask my white counterparts, are you an enabler of what happened, or are you going to say we must talk about history? So this is a political stunt. I think we can all agree. Right. You cannot craft legislation that would prohibit a school or a business from making a third party feel discomfort. Well, what does that mean?
Well, what I would find uncomfortable.
How do you quantify discomfort?
Right. And what I would find uncomfortable, maybe you would not. I don't feel guilt. We mentioned 1883 a lot on this show.
Yeah.
I don't feel, and I'm just using that as an example, I don't feel guilty about the way that the American government treated the Native American Indians in the 1700s and 1800s.
But it makes you feel uncomfortable,
yes, because it's unpleasant. I'm not filled with guilt because of it.
The bill reads in part, an individual, by virtue of his or her race or sex, does not bear responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex.
I agree.
This is a bill, Scott.
I know.
An individual should not be made to feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of his or her race. Now, flip that around. How many black members of our audience would say they absolutely feel discomfort or psychological distress in America?
What is wrong?
Not every day, maybe, but from time to time.
And I'm not looking to turn this into a discussion or a topic necessarily. I'm just throwing out what is probably a rhetorical question. What is wrong with our young scholars, as they apparently like to call them now, our young scholars being made to feel uncomfortable? I agree with the part of the bill that says you shouldn't make people, you know, whether they're 16 years old in a civics class or 50 years old on the radio, feel guilty for things that they are not responsible for, that people centuries ago did. I agree with that.
You should feel discomfort based on the sins of our past.
That's what I'm saying. I agree that we shouldn't be made to feel guilty for it. I didn't do it. My family didn't do it. But if you feel a level of discomfort hearing about the way that Black people were treated, Indian people were treated in this country, good. I want you to feel a little bit uncomfortable about that. Whether you're Black, white, Asian, I don't care.
Listen to this line in the bill. No individual is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. Now, I wholeheartedly disagree with that.
What do you mean it's taught? Kids aren't racist.
This is saying if you think about adults that are going to be in a setting where things are being taught or in a business where you're going through training, this is saying no individual can be unconsciously racist. I disagree with that.
Is everyone unconsciously racist?
I think you can be consciously racist, and I won't name examples, but we know who they are. And I also think you can be unconsciously racist. That's the entire conversation that we always have about inherent bias, where you are not overtly meaning to do these things, but based on your experience and your upbringing and your education and knowledge about your experience, you might do or say things that are racist.
I think the frustration with the unconscious bias discussion, if I may, comes from the thinking that only white people can be unconsciously biased. Now, if we're going to make the argument that everyone is unconsciously biased...
Can have bias.
Can, yes. Or does.
Both. I would say can and do.
If we're going to make the argument that everyone,
okay,
has an unconscious bias, then you'll probably get no argument from,
okay,
me.
Older woman, 85 years old, in front of you at the grocery store, pulls out her checkbook. You think what?
Oh, God, I'm going to be here
gonna
for
be
a while.
Here forever.
That's, yeah, called stereotyping, though. That's not unconscious
racism.
Bias.
But there is built in all of us unconscious bias, whether you want to admit it or not.
Black people, too?
Yes.
Asian people, too?
Yes.
White people, too?
Yes.
Okay. Then,
and I think others are more aware of it and do more to try and at least acknowledge it than others who just say, well, there's no such thing as unconscious bias. I completely disagree.
Okay.
We all have biases that we wouldn't be human if we did not.
You'll get no argument out of me that everyone has an unconscious bias. No question about it. But it's everyone.
And that's not how it's ever portrayed.
Right. He's right about that. It usually is cast as white people are unconsciously biased.
But if
and
you
that's
look
where the frustration comes
well,
from.
Well, that's where the frustration comes in from all sides, because if you look at those who wield the power, not exclusively,
certainly not,
that's where we start getting into problems when you talk about unconscious bias. If somebody has the authority to take your freedom away and they happen to be white and you happen to be Black, unconscious bias is not the same as me looking at a woman in a grocery store saying, my God, I'm going to be here forever.
Well, but I would have that bias whether she was Black, Asian, Hispanic, or white. If I see a checkbook getting whipped out of the grocery store, I'm switching lanes. Period. Because I know that Mildred is going to be there for at least 10 minutes.
The fact that this bill was even crafted and then made it through first round approval is a joke.
On the discomfort thing, I will agree with you on that. I want students to feel uncomfortable.
How do you legislate against it?
You don't.
I can think of multiple times I felt uncomfortable in school. And when we were in school, Scott, you just listened to what the teacher had to say and you went about your business. Can you imagine back in our day saying, well, I'm uncomfortable. Let me tell you why I was uncomfortable. Let me tell you why. We had something called Slave Day.
And we did too.
When I was in junior high. This was not that long ago. I'm not 100 years old. This was not that long ago. We had a school-sanctioned slave day where we sold
teachers,
the upperclassmen on the stage, and then you had to go around the next day and do whatever that person said.
See, we sold teachers, and it was not at Lansing. It was in Dusseldorf. We sold our teachers and dressed them up and had them go get us lunch. Call us sir, ma'am.
Hmm.
Maybe make them do an assignment. I don't know if we're going to have time.
From the text line, Scott, don't you write checks?
I do, in the privacy of my own home. I don't write checks at the grocery store or anywhere in public.
I wouldn't allow you to write checks in public. Speaking of education, when we come back, a new proposal for some high school students around town that one school leader says will make life better, will make life easier, and both Scott and I off the air went, well, that's a good idea. Why haven't we ever thought about that before?
Get to that and much more coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. It's an op-ed from the Kansas City Star. Let me see if this is written by the edit. Yeah, it's from the editorial board. And they write this afternoon, Kansas City Public School Superintendent Mark Bedell wants students to have the option of going to school in the evening if it better fits their schedule. And he has some important allies among state education officials. Says Carol Holquist, Vice President of the Missouri State Board of Education. I love the idea because this is a new day and age for students, and we have to think more expansively about how we meet our students where they are. I think it's doable. The Star's editorial board writes, it's not only doable, it's necessary to keep kids in school who might otherwise drop out. Students would have, listen to this, students would have the flexibility to work a part-time job during the day and attend school at night. Some would be able to spend the day helping care for their family members, elderly or preschool, while their parents work. The current school day system, Superintendent Bedell says, is archaic and it has to change. The Star says he's right. Bedell, in remarks he made last week, give me the flexibility. With a future high school schedule that allows for us to have schools open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and to innovate in a way that will allow us to adjust to the demands of the markets. When many more Americans lived on farms, the school calendar met the needs of an agrarian society. Mom and dad needed the kids home during the busy summer months. Hence, we have the September to May school calendar. Today, more of us live in urban or suburban lives, yet we're stuck with this old calendar.
It is a great outside the box idea. I love it.
I give him credit for thinking outside the box. I would be curious to hear from those of you in education. Is it doable?
Let me tell you why I think it is.
Some would argue it's not.
Let me tell you why I think it is.
Okay.
You would not move to a model in the Kansas City School District where every single kid is going to night school. You wouldn't have the staff to support that. I don't think you would have the interest to support that. There are still going to be traditional kids who want to go from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon and take part in band and do
football,
all of the things, football, that you do during a normal day.
Okay.
But for the kid who is helping put food on the table, who needs that job, who has to watch siblings, this solves so many problems for the parents in the home. And you would have some teachers who would think, this is a great schedule for me too. Not all of them. You would maybe say on a first come first serve basis, we need 20 teachers starting out who will shift their schedule and teach nights. Do you know how many people would love that schedule, Scott? And let me give you an example. Back when I worked in television news, if you worked the very, very early morning shift, 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. or the very, very late shift till 11 p.m., you could avoid as a young parent daycare costs.
Mm-hmm.
because one spouse works a traditional 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You would be home at 10 a.m. or you would be home all day until 2 p.m. There are teachers listening who would say, sign me up. I will stay at home with my toddler during the day. I don't have to pay daycare. And then I will go teach high school kids at night.
Now, we would have to have for this plan to work. And I give the superintendent credit for the outside of the box thinking. This idea of at least allowing some students to do their coursework in the evening. Not overnight, but in the evening.
Sure.
So think your school day normally is 8 to 3 or whatever. Theirs would be, say, 3 to 10 or,
sure,
you know, whatever.
Or even 5 to 8 and you cram those lessons in there, Scott.
Here's the problem. Here's the only problem I can think of. We already have warnings about a teacher shortage coming.
Sure.
You would have to centralize all of these teachers into one building. So students in, let's just use Kansas City, Missouri.
The night school building.
Yeah, it would basically be the night school building. It would have to be presumably centralized. So that students, let's just use Kansas City, for example, students on the south side of the district and students on the north side of the district travel the same distance, okay? If we are having a teacher shortage coming, where are we going to get the teachers? Or do we just assume some of the students are going to do it?
Right.
It's going to lessen the number of students during the day. That'll free up a couple of spots to go to the night.
I would like to think it would free up a couple spots to go to the night, but I think you'd be surprised how many teachers would raise their hands immediately for this.
576-7798. The superintendent in Kansas City, Missouri, Mark Bedell, has come up with an idea that, let's be honest, most of us have never thought of. Doing night school for some students. You would have to opt in, obviously. You wouldn't be assigned night school. Everybody else could go 8 to 3, but if you need to work and take care of family during the day, you could go to school, say, 4 to 10. Would it work? We ask you, educators, are there enough of you?
And how many teachers would it take to make it work?
576-7798. Quick break for the news. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. Here on Dana and Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by
so the superintendent in Kansas City, Mark Bedell, who, give the guy credit, seems to be doing a hell of a job. The district just recently got full accreditation.
Yep.
Is doing some outside the box thinking and suggested to the Missouri Board of Education the other day that it's time to meet some students where they are. And that would include providing evening courses, evening instruction for some students who, for obvious reasons, have to care for siblings in the morning or have work that the family depends on to help pay for the bills during the day.
You know where the Manual Tech Center is located?
Right off Truman?
Right off the highway, right?
Yeah.
I found an older story from last summer that says Kansas City Public Schools launched a program to help some students attend school at night at the Manual Tech Center. But I'm curious if Bedell's proposal would take this further. Because what this looks like, this old story that I found about Manual, is that, you know, let's say you were a couple of credits short from graduating. They're trying to get those kids over the hump come on in from 4 to 7 p.m. We will help you get over the hump so that you can graduate.
Right.
I think his plan takes it further. And why not use the technical center there? It's a perfect building for it.
Let's go to Christy in Olathe. Christy, hello.
Hello there. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, I love listening to you guys. I'm a teacher, been doing it 29 years, even through this crazy time. Still doing it. Still love it.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you for what you
do. You're welcome. So I love outside-the-box thinkers because I think education absolutely needs outside-the-box thinkers. I grew up on a farm. I get how it used to be, where we needed the months split up where they are. I also have taught in 20-some years in Title I schools. Kids and families, they're struggling. They've been struggling for a long time. And the supports for some kids just aren't there. So I totally would agree with him thinking outside the box as getting an 8 to 8 p.m., is that right?
8 a.m. to 8 p.m. would be the school hours. Now, granted, if you went in the evening, you wouldn't be expected at school at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And I, you know, we have a lot of people whose families, you know, they work nights and they don't get help with homework, right? You're talking restaurants, you're talking warehouses, whatever. And those kids need the structure. Now, I also have two kids of my own. I have a seventh grader and I have a freshman. Am I willing to give up my nights to teach evening school or whatever? I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I think there are teachers out there that would. Now, we're in a sub shortage. We're in a teacher shortage. After this year, I see a lot of teachers leaving, really. And it's so sad. It's going to happen. They're just getting burnt out.
Yeah.
But I really love outside-the-box thinkers, and we need to continue to support families in any way that we can.
And Christy, don't you think there will be some outside-of-the-box teachers for whom that schedule would work better?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do. But, like, my kids need my help in the evening for their homework. Yeah.
But younger teachers are those who are empty nesters.
Yeah, or those who have, I had to bring this up, but when you've got toddlers or babies, that night shift is a great shift for a snapshot in time. I wouldn't want to do it forever, but it was a great shift for that place in my life.
Matt in Overland Park. Christy, thank you for your call. Matt, go ahead.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I want to back up and just commend Dr. Bedell on the hard work that he's done with Kansas City Public School System.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, this idea of like what our traditional classroom system is built off of a early 1900 or late 1900 system where we teach kids all the same and we're breaking boundaries every day in what we do. I have the fortune of working in a very non-traditional education facility at Shawnee Mission School District inside the Broadmoor Bistro, which is the culinary arts program. And you know, like I have, by the time they're juniors, they're already working in industry because they have to. And I want to do everything that I can to support them as an educator. And I'm not also a traditional educator. I didn't go to school to become a teacher. I came from industry. And I think that I could evaluate my circumstances, and I don't have children, and I lived in this lifestyle where I worked nights to meet my students where we need to meet them so that they can get the best education.
So you say this could work.
But yeah, and I think remote learning has shown that, you know, we have an efficacy of alternative learning opportunities to meet students where, like, how it works. Like, it doesn't have to be in a building. However, it's more effective when you're in person.
Yeah.
And in person and hands-on learning is the ultimate goal, because that's where you meet a one-on-one rather than having 30 students in a classroom sitting in and listening to a talking head in front of the class.
Matt, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it. Deb in Harrisonville. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
How are you going to get the kids there? We already have a teacher shortage.
Right.
A sub shortage.
A school bus driver shortage.
And a school bus driver shortage, yes. That would be my number one question. You know, you've got people that will come in and do nights, but how are you going to get those kids there?
Well, I would imagine you would have to treat it like you do, say, football, okay? And when you go to football practice, usually football practice is near the school right after school, but they don't provide a bus to get you home at night. You got to want to play football, you got to find your own way home. You want to do night school, you got to find your own way there and get home.
Oh, okay. That would work then. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely. It's a damn good question too, because not everybody's going to have some form of transportation. This may just happen to be one of those situations where if you can't provide your own way to get there and own way to get home, then you don't get to do it. It's just like an extracurricular activity. I understand school is not an extracurricular activity.
She does bring up a good point with transportation. There would be liability concerns. They would have to work some of that out. Are you going to allow, you know, some schools say that under a certain age, you are not allowed to drive to and from school activities. You know, you've seen those waivers, Scott. Mm-hmm. Or you have to waive in and say, I do allow my student to drive with a coach, or I do allow my student to ride with an older sibling. That is stuff that they would have to figure out, but I don't see that as insurmountable.
Ron in Leavenworth. Ron, hello.
Hi, how are you? I appreciate you taking my call. I'm no longer teaching, but I have a couple of things to say. First of all, we do have, as you reported, night school. So we have the program in effect now for anyone that wants to go to school and get the same education, same diploma as they do by going during the day. So the night school program exists. And if we look at it as you have to find your own way back and forth, I mean, once again, we're going to have a problem with the underserved minorities, the black community that don't have cars. I mean, all of a sudden now we're going to have night school consisting of all white privileged kids and all the black kids going to other schools. But then my bigger issue is that the schools, I believe, are still being run by the sports programs. So nobody's going to want their college footballer prodigy to go at night because he's not going to be able to throw touchdown passes. Here in Leavenworth, 90 cents out of every one of our DOS tax dollars already goes to our social programs and to education. I mean, that's 90 cents out of the dollar. You know, how much more are we going to, you know, take from our citizens for programs that, you know, just aren't financially suitable? And teachers are going to want per diem pay for working after hours at night. So, I mean, until you address the financial issues and now the issue of why blacks are not being allowed to go to evening classes because they don't have cars, I think that's more a proponent of racism than anything else. Until you have public transportation and such, you know, I see that as the next, racial indicator of separation of people.
Okay, well, I don't like the idea that people who are black don't have cars. Yes, there is obviously a poverty problem in the inner city of Kansas City, which happens to be predominantly black, but blacks don't have the market cornered on poverty or on the lack of transportation. And there is, at least in Kansas City proper, it could certainly be improved, but there is public transportation. I understand, Ron, that you're calling from Leavenworth. I'm from Leavenworth. There is not a lot of public transportation in Leavenworth. I get it. But in Kansas City, Missouri, there is a decent amount of public transportation. 576-7798. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks. We'll get to more of your calls, your comments in just a moment here on KMBZ. Next hour on the Dan and Parks program, a bit of confusion at a local crime scene. I should say local murder scene. Is it possible that the 911 call was actually placed 14 hours earlier?
Horrible, horrible story.
A lot of answers being sought in a case that we'll get to in the next hour here on Dan and Parks. Wrapping up our conversation out of Kansas City, Missouri, where the superintendent, Mark Bedell, has come up with a clearly out-of-the-box thinking idea, and his proposal is to do, or at least offer, night classes for students in the Kansas City, Missouri School District who need to take care of siblings during the morning or who have a day job that helps provide for the family's bills and mortgage payments, et cetera, offer classes at night. To paraphrase the superintendent, we need to meet the students where they are. Is it doable? The Star's editorial board says it most certainly is. Angela in Topeka. Angela, hello.
Hi. I just want to say we love listening to you guys every afternoon on our way home.
Oh, thank you. I work
in Topeka as an educator, and I live in Emporia, so I'm driving every day and listening to you guys.
It's a hell of a commute.
Yeah. I'm originally from Minnesota, and when I heard this, I had to call in. I'm like, when I grew up in Minnesota, I'm a late bloomer to education. I went through a master's program years later, and this is my second year. But growing up in Minnesota, I went to high school 80s and 90s. We had a program very similar to this. It wasn't a night school, but it did provide students an opportunity to go to school and get credit for working during school hours.
Yeah.
I was like, this is just, but it wasn't just that. I mean, it would prepare them for the real world and allowing them to get credit for working outside, you know, during the daytime. They still took their basic core classes, and then they would have certain hours that they would work, and they got credit for it. And that was just one of the programs of thinking outside the box like that. They also had a para program where seniors could sign up and go into an elementary school for either a morning or an afternoon, those ones that had enough credits and they were overabundant, to go in and explore education, to be a teacher. And so there's a lot of ways. In both of the programs, I would bet that there's 20 to 30% of the student body of any individual school up there that would take advantage of these programs.
Did you say 20%?
At least.
Yeah, Scott, I think so too.
Because let me stop because we're getting some weird clicking on your phone.
For no other reason than just the schedule and the freedom it would provide for younger staff members who are trying to juggle 10 different things in their lives.
Let me ask you this, just going off of what the superintendent said regarding taking care of siblings during the morning while mom and dad or mom or dad are off at work.
Yeah.
Maybe providing for some of the family's income. Would evening classes only be available to those who had a legitimate reason to need it?
Ooh.
Or do you open it up to kids who just don't like being at school at 8 o'clock in the morning and don't play sports?
I think you open it up first to the kids who need it through the school counselor. I need this. I need the extra income to help my family. I have younger siblings at home that I have to watch after, you know, noon or 1 o'clock or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the counselors would know that. And then you would vet those kids, send them to the tech center, and then if there's overflow, you open it up to first come, first serve.
To the kids who just don't feel like getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and they don't play sports.
Yep.
Let's go to Gerilyn in Overland Park. Hello. Gerilyn.
Hello.
All right, we'll go to Danny in Independence. Hello, Danny.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm a third-year teacher, so I'm just barely getting in.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that right now we are, like, so burnt out and tired that it's not even funny. So, like, adding that on, I think, it's a good idea, but I'm afraid that, like, where's the staff going to come from? Because I'm expected to cover classes of teachers who don't show up. So, like, if the night staff teacher doesn't show up, am I expected to take that class? So I've already worked my scheduled hours.
I have to ask you, Danny, because we have you here. You are in your third year. I have always read, and this was well before the pandemic, that the hugest challenge in public education is getting teachers to stay, to retain those teachers after year two. And you went on to year three. Did you think about it? If year two is the 7-year itch, did you think about quitting after year two?
Yes, I almost did. I applied to one more school. I even switched to what I was teaching. I almost quit because it was so bad. But I love what I'm doing now. I'm at a behavioral school working as a sped teacher. So So I take the really tough kids. But I almost quit. I know that I am one of the few of my, like, 12 kids that came out. I am one of the, like, three that are still teaching.
Is that right?
So it's we're dropping, and it's all over TikTok, too. If you look, you see teachers all over the place quitting, whether they've been in it for 1 year or 12.
All right, Danny, let me stop you there. Do appreciate the call. When we get back, the 911 call that may have been placed 14 hours earlier, was there a major delay in this response?
What happened?
We'll get to that. By the way, it involves a local murder. We'll get to that and much more in just a moment, right after the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.